In May of 2000, I had the privilege of spending the month preaching Bible prophecy throughout England. I began in London and then went to the coastal cities along the Channel. Next, I went to Wales and then on to Scotland. I concluded my speaking tour in Northern Ireland, where I met a remarkable pastor who has since become one of the leading Bible prophecy teachers in all of Britain. For a fascinating interview with this man, stay tuned.
Lamb and Lion Ministries presents Christ in Prophecy, a program that focuses on the fundamentals of Bible prophecy, showing how current events in the news relate to biblical predictions of end time events and the soon return of Jesus. Now, here's your host, Dr. David Reagan.
Well, greetings in the name of Jesus, our blessed hope. I'm Dave Reagan, founder and director of Lamb and Lion Ministries. Welcome to Christ in Prophecy. My special guest this week is evangelist Kenneth Humphreys from Northern Ireland. He has a ministry there called Treasured Truth Today, and he specializes in the preaching and teaching of Bible prophecy. Ken, welcome to the United States and to the great state of Texas.
Thank you, sir. It's a joy to be here.
Well, I tell you, I'll never forget the days that I was there with you in Northern Ireland, how much I enjoyed that. I want to start off with a question about you personally, and that question is this. How in the world did a professional baker end up being a preacher and teacher of Bible prophecy?
Well, sir, quite simple. I was saved at the age of 16, having been brought up in a godly home and sent to a church where the gospel was preached, and trusted the Lord as a young man. And at 17, because they felt the need of preachers in that area, they encouraged me to study the word and preach. So I did that and began to preach at 17. And as time went by, began to realize that this great truth, the Lord's return, the prophecy, was something very special to me as I began to think about it and listen to it. And I began then to sense the call of God as years rolled by.
But during that time, weren't you a baker?
Yes, I was. I went to the bakery business and learned bakery and confectionery. And eventually...
So you did that during the weekend, preached on weekends?
Yes,
huh?
I did.
Okay.
Evenings and weekends, yeah.
But had that call to get in full-time ministry.
Well, I always had that desire and felt the Lord calling me, but it never seemed right. It never seemed to come at that particular time that I thought it should. And actually, we opened our own business and set up in a business in another town in Larne. And it was during that time that we sensed the Lord calling. He spoke through his word. And the word in Mark's gospel simply was, go, sell all that you have, come,
wow,
follow me.
So what age were you when you made that commitment?
I was 37 when I made that commitment.
Sold your business?
Sold the
stepped
business.
Stepped out in faith?
Yes, sold the house and stepped out and trusted the Lord.
At that point,
Lord.
Did you become a full-time pastor?
Yes, I did. My first pastorate was about a year after that. We served the Lord for 5 years in a little church in Killalea, County Down, and the Lord blessed our ministry there.
Now, some of our viewers may not be aware of the fact that the difference between Northern Ireland and Ireland, but Northern Ireland is primarily a Protestant area, isn't it? And it is also a part of England.
Yes, it is. Northern Ireland was separated from Southern Ireland many years ago under Lord Carson and became absolutely engraved or engulfed into.
So you are a British citizen?
Absolutely.
Then? Okay,
yes.
In fact, C.S. Lewis was born in the area that you live in.
That's right.
Belfast,
that's right?
And then grew up there, and most people don't know that, and then went on to England.
Absolutely.
They think of him mainly just being on the English side,
right,
there.
Right.
But he actually was born there.
Indeed.
Okay, now, when I met you in the year 2000, you were still a pastor.
That's right.
What caused you to take the next step of faith, which really was a big one, to give up your pastorate and become,
sure,
a full-time evangelist?
Well, for some time I'd been crossing over into Austria to preach and teach at a little seminary there, and I met some students from Eastern Europe. And we sensed that the Lord was touching our hearts towards them because they found it difficult to find sufficient funds to remain for the whole period. So we felt that the Lord was laying something on our hearts, and my wife and I began to talk and pray about it. And we decided that we would conclude our ministry in the church in Cookstown, and we would take this step of going out into a full-time ministry, simply because we wanted to teach and preach what we were doing in Austria on a more full-time basis, things concerning the Lord's return.
Well, I think most of our viewers would not realize how big a step of faith that is, because in the United States, having independent ministries like Lamb and Lion are very, very common. Mm-hmm. And people rally to those and they support them. But it's unusual in England, isn't it? And mm-hmm. and it's difficult to raise support.
Very much so. People are very generous towards their churches, towards missions and missionaries, and they're very generous in that particular way. But when it comes to a ministry, they have certain doubts, and especially a prophetic ministry. They have certain fears with respect to that kind of ministry. So it is difficult to raise support.
So you're not only facing a financial challenge, mm-hmm. as you step out in faith, but you're also facing another one, because the concept of the soon return of Jesus, the preaching of Bible prophecy in terms of the premillennial viewpoint, has really fallen on hard times throughout England, hasn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Tell us about the challenge that you face there.
Well, we're across there quite a bit preaching, and we discover meetings are very small. The reason being that wherever we go, we hear people say, we haven't heard that preached in our church for 30 or 40 or 50 years. And that automatically gives you the opening, but it's to a very small number. And I'm sure the people would love to hear more of this wonderful teaching of the Lord's
return. So you're saying that most of the churches are then amillennial or just don't have any prophetic viewpoint at all?
Yeah, I think a great many of them are just without viewpoint mm-hmm. on prophecy at all, and simply say, well, we don't preach it because it's confusing and it may cause a controversy.
Well, in a few minutes, I want to get more into the question of Bible prophecy. But right now, I'd like to ask you a question about Christianity in general in England. England, in the 19th century, was the world center of Christianity, mm-hmm. Sending out missionaries all over the world, translating the Bible into many languages, writing hymns. Mm-hmm. You take an average hymn book today and half the hymns in there are by Anglican priests in the 19th century. It was the center of Christianity. Today, only 7% of the people in England go to church anymore. The Church of England has become almost a laughingstock in that it's viewed as a real estate agency because it's trying to sell all its church buildings or giving them away, and they're becoming dance halls and Muslim mosques. It's pathetic what has happened to Christianity in England, and happened very fast in a period of only 100 years. To what would you attribute the radical decline of Christianity in England today?
Well, I'm sure it's very much a part of what Paul spoke of as being the falling away at this time. But I'm sure modernism and liberalism had a very strong input into that. I know certainly on our own island of Ireland, we had men who came across and they were very strong with respect to their Calvinistic Reformed faith. And they were very strong amillennial. And they began to teach this amillennial teaching. And that drew numbers by the score of good men, good ministers, good teachers, good preachers, away from premillennial teaching of the Word.
Seems to me like that in England, the German school of higher criticism had a greater impact than perhaps any other place in the world.
Absolutely.
With its idea that the Bible is not the revealed mm-hmm. Word of God, but it's man's search for God. Mm-hmm. And people seemed to buy that hook, line, and sinker. And the result was preachers getting up on Sunday morning saying, well, you know, the Apostle Paul may have said that, but, you know, he was an old fuddy-duddy who lived 2,000 years ago. And, of course, today we're more sophisticated. We know this or that and so mm-hmm. forth. And they no longer preach with any authority from the Word of God.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's what happens when you lose that urgency yes. of the Lord's return.
Yes.
This is something that I believe comes to all of us if we're truly involved in preaching this wonderful message. It not only brings to us a desire for holiness, but it brings a desire to reach the lost.
Yes.
For we realize at any moment the Lord could come, and we long to see precious sinners come to Christ.
Well, you know, that's a very good point that you're making there, because so often I find today that preachers here in America, pastors, are not interested at all in talking mm-hmm. about Bible prophecy. Mm-hmm. And when I ask them why, they say, oh, it's just all pie in the sky. Mm-hmm. And they don't understand that if you really convince people that Jesus is returning and that that can occur any moment, mm-hmm. that that will motivate people to evangelism and to holy living. It has an impact upon the way we live right here
absolutely.
And now.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So I really try to emphasize that mm-hmm. to them. Mm-hmm. Well, in just a moment, I want to talk to you more in detail about Bible prophecy. But before we do that, I want us to pause for just a moment, folks, and I want us to concern ourselves with a song by Jack Hollingsworth. And this song is a fantastic one called The Midnight Cry. Listen to the words carefully as Jumpin' Jack Hollingsworth sings it like only Jack can.
Mm-hmm. I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind. It's closer now. now than it's ever been. And I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call. At the midnight cry, we'll be going home when Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children. The dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air. Those that remain will be quickly changed at the midnight cry when Jesus comes again. Don't you know he's coming, and he's coming soon? Listen to me now. Glory to God. Oh. Oh, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. I look around me, and I see prophecies fulfilling. The signs of the time are appearing everywhere. And I can almost hear the Father say, "Son, go get the children." At the midnight cry, the bride of Christ shall rise when Jesus steps out to call his children. That's you and me, now don't you know it? The dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air. And then those that remain will be quickly changed at the midnight cry when Jesus comes again, oh Lord. And then those that remain will be quickly changed at the midnight cry when Jesus comes again. Oh my God, won't you hurry now? At the midnight cry when Jesus comes again. When Jesus comes again.
Wow. What a song about the second coming. Thank you, Jack. I appreciate that very much. Well, folks, for those of you who may have just tuned in, let me remind you that our guest this week is Ken Humphreys, who is a Bible prophecy teacher and preacher from Northern Ireland. Ken, I'd like to get back into this discussion by picking up where we left off. You were a pastor. First, you were a baker, and then you were a pastor, and then in what year? 2000, somewhere around there, 2003? You decided to make the step to full-time evangelism?
That's right. We concluded our ministry in 2003, December.
In 2003.
Yeah.
You gave up your pastorate. You stepped out in faith to become a Bible prophecy teacher and preacher. Why? I mean, what motivated you to do that? I know it must have been the Lord's call, but you must have had a burning message in your heart.
Well, absolutely. The more I read, Dave, and the more I understand of the soon coming of Christ, My passion was to relate this to our people, because there's so little of it preached in Northern Ireland and in the United Kingdom. And my passion was that I would know more of it myself and draw deeply on the wells of God's Word, and then impart that to others, that they might be, if you like, moved and with compassion in their souls to realize that the Lord could come at any moment.
Absolutely.
And if that's the case, then we need not only to be ready, but we need to be right for that
coming.
And
I know that you have a real passion too for trying to get young men to commit their lives to preaching the second coming of Jesus.
Absolutely. This is something that we are working on. And when I was with you last 2 years ago, I mentioned this at your conference, but when I went home, it somewhat fell apart, because two of the young men that were involved with me had gone on to something else. Mm-hmm. But since that, one of those young men has begun a new work. And they've just cut a new CD, and they had 700 young people at this. So he has been talking to me about this, that we could come from month to month and do some prophetic teaching with them, and that would give us an open door that we never dreamed of having.
Well, I think your answer to the next question is pretty obvious, but I'm going to ask the question anyway, because I want to hear you talk about it, and that is, do you believe with all your heart that we are living in the season of the Lord's return?
Absolutely, and I can't see how we read the Word and not believe that, because it's without the shadow of a doubt, as the Lord Jesus himself said to his disciples in John 14. You remember he started to talk to them about this new peace that he was giving to them, and then he spoke to them about a new place, I go to prepare a place for you, and then he spoke to them about a new pledge, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, it wasn't that they didn't know he wasn't coming back. Luke's Gospel mentions that in chapter 1, that he's coming back to rule and to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. But this was a different coming. He says, I'm coming back for you, personal.
Yes.
And that's the coming that Paul speaks about in 1 Thessalonians 4, that he's coming with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
And you're calling that the rapture.
Absolutely.
Is separate and apart from the second coming.
Absolutely, yes.
Now, what has convinced you that we're living in the season of the Lord's return?
Well, I think we've just got to look around us. And no matter where we look, we can see that this falling away that the apostle spoke about. He spoke about a man of sin coming to the fore.
Okay, great apostasy.
Absolutely. And we're seeing that on every hand. And certainly in the United Kingdom, we are seeing that, as you say, the churches are closing. Ministers will not preach truth. And we are finding that less and less people are going to church. Therefore, they're not hearing anything.
And incidentally, I'm sad to say that I'm seeing the same thing happening here in this country. It looks like we're just taking the same path that England did, as preachers are more and more watering down the gospel, refusing to confront people with sin, simply concerned with one thing: how big a church can I build?
Exactly.
And I can do that with entertainment, and I can do it with social activities and all that sort of thing.
Exactly.
But I want to be seeker-sensitive and make sure that I don't step on anybody's toes and give them the impression that they might be a sinner.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, let's get more specific. You mentioned only one thing, and that's apostasy in the church, which certainly is prophesied in the Bible. What else do you see on the scene today that convinces you that we're living in the season of the Lord's return?
Well, I'm seeing the whole world at large moving with some power and impact against the land of Israel.
Okay.
And to me, that is number one, if you like, sign that something's
the very
happening.
Existence of Israel.
Absolutely.
Is one of the greatest signs.
Absolutely.
Of all. I mean, people at the beginning of the 20th century, there were people writing who said one day Israel is going to be reestablished.
Absolutely.
God's going to and they were laughed at. They were ridiculed right up to the day that the state was established.
Absolutely.
But now, in addition to that, all the nations of the world are coming together against them.
Exactly.
And that's clearly prophesied, isn't it?
It is indeed. And God has made it clear in his word that this people were given this land. Genesis 12. This people were given this land. It was promised through Abraham. It was possessed under Joshua. And sadly, the people polluted it and God purged it. And he's now preparing that land again, because the children of Israel, we note through scripture, had to be in the land for his first coming.
Well, you know, the prophecies are so clear that God's going to regather the Jewish people in unbelief. He's going to reestablish the nation. He's going to put them back in Jerusalem. And all the nations of the world will come together against them. All of those are specifically prophesied. And it says that's when the Messiah is coming. We're on the threshold of the tribulation. But you know, the average minister in America, I don't know about England, but the average minister in America knows almost nothing about the Old Testament, and therefore they don't know these prophecies that are all through the Old Testament that are so specific.
Yeah, they just don't study that particular word because they feel that it's, as I said earlier, it's something that will create argument and division, and yet they don't seem to understand it's God's precious word.
It's so exciting.
Isn't
We're living in one of the most exciting periods in all of history.
That's right.
I mean, the word says that when history's over and done with, the Jews will look back and they will consider their regathering from
Absolutely.
The four corners of the earth
Absolutely.
More important, yeah. a greater miracle than their deliverance from Egyptian captivity. And you and I are living in the time when we
That's
can
right.
see that with our own eyes.
And we have seen it begun, and now it's coming to fruition.
Wow, I tell you. Mm. Let me tell you something. Your whole approach to Bible prophecy is based upon a literal interpretation.
Absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely.
Why do you interpret Bible prophecy literally? Because at the seminaries, Bible prophecy is completely spiritualized. Mm. It's considered to be non-academic and unintellectual to take it literally. Why do you take it literally?
Well, I believe the hermeneutic you use will formulate or mold your whole thinking.
And by hermeneutic, you just simply mean the way you interpret.
That's right. Yeah. And that's to interpret Scripture literally. And
why? Why interpret it literally?
Well, because you can take nothing else from it. If God says something, it's got to be true. If God says it, you've got to accept it. How can you start to weave something into it around it?
You know why I am convinced that one of the most important reasons that people love to spiritualize Scripture is because when you start spiritualizing Scripture, you become God.
Absolutely.
Because then you can make it say whatever
Absolutely.
You want to make
yeah.
it say.
Sure.
I think God knows how to communicate.
Absolutely.
I think He wants to
you
communicate. I don't think you have to have a PhD in anything to understand.
Yeah.
You do have to have the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
But, brother, I don't see why people want to take the Word of God and make it say something other than
exactly.
what it says.
Exactly.
And to me, the most important reason why we should interpret literally is because every first coming prophecy meant exactly
what it said. Yeah.
Now, if the first coming prophecies meant what they said, why shouldn't the second coming prophecies mean what they say?
Well, they will, won't they? And they do. Absolutely.
I mean, it doesn't sound to me like you need to be a space scientist to understand that.
Absolutely. True.
And yet, I see person after person spiritualized. Doesn't mean what it says. Yeah. Doesn't mean what it says. And then you end up with just a bunch of stuff that doesn't mean anything.
True. I once heard Howard Hendricks say that so many people today in church work are educated beyond their intelligence. And he said, by that, I simply mean they have great education, but they haven't 2 ounces of common sense. So, there you go. That's maybe why.
I know there's some people out there watching right now are thinking, hey, man, I love this Irishman. I love that accent. I love his passion. Yeah. How in the world can I get in touch with him? How can people get in touch with your ministry? Just look right in that camera and tell them.
Well, if you want to find our ministry, it's on the web, treasuredtruthtoday.org. And we would be delighted to have you come. And there's a link there that will give you an email address. Why don't you write to us? We'd be delighted to write back and keep contact with you and have you know more about our ministry.
Great, and I hope many people will do that. Folks, as we bring this segment to a close of our program, I'd like to pause for just a moment. We're going to come back and continue with Ken, but first I'd like to pause for you to have an opportunity to consider a resource that we have developed called God's Plan for the Ages. This is a comprehensive book about every aspect of Bible prophecy, both the first coming and the second coming. It's an easy book to read. You can turn to any part of it and just read that section. You don't have to read it in order. You can look in the table of contents and say, well, I want to know what the Bible says about heaven, what it says about hell, what it says about the Jews, what it says about the church. So it's called God's Plan for the Ages, and here is some information about how you can get this valuable resource.
Dr. Reagan's book, God's Plan for the Ages, contains a comprehensive overview of all aspects of Bible prophecy. It's written in an easy-to-understand, down-to-earth style that you'll find appealing. In addition to all the prophecies concerning the first and second comings of the Messiah, it deals with a host of other prophetic questions. The book contains a variety of charts and diagrams which illustrate various aspects of Bible prophecy. The book is available for a gift of $15 or more. To get a copy of it, please call 1-800-225-7977 and request a copy by name. God's Plan for the Ages. That number again is 1-800-225-7977. The book contains 42 exciting chapters about Bible prophecy and runs a total of 415 pages. Again, it can be yours for a gift of $15 or more. Call 1-800-225-7977 today and request a copy. Consider ordering an extra copy for your pastor or church library.
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy. Our special guest is Ken Humphreys, a great Bible prophecy teacher and preacher from Northern Ireland. Ken, I want to thank you for being with us. You have been a blessing.
Thank you, brother.
And I'd like to conclude our program with two questions, and they're very personal questions. The first one has to do with people who are believers. There are a lot of folks watching this program right now who are believers but do not know anything about Bible prophecy. What would you say to a believer who knows nothing about Bible prophecy?
Let me encourage you, dear friends, if you're one of those people who keep saying, well, Scripture itself is difficult to read and Bible prophecy in particular is very hard to understand, let me encourage you to go into the Word of God. The psalmist in Psalm 19:7 reminds us that the law of the Lord is perfect, transforming the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. He tells us that if we take the Word of God seriously and we read it and allow the Spirit of God to speak through it, that He will open our minds. The psalmist in Psalm 112 could say, I know more than all my teachers. I know more than all the ancients. And you might think at this moment it's difficult, it's hard, but the more you read it, the more the Spirit of God will open your heart and mind to it, especially about the prophetic truth of Christ's return. Get those lovely passages, John 14, 1 Thessalonians 4, and many others, and read what the Lord Jesus has to say. Read through the book of the Revelation and get a good book, such as the one Dr. Reagan has read, written, and you'll find great help there.
Thank you so much, man. You make me want to just grab my Bible right now and start reading. But it really is sad how many people have been in a church for all their lives and never even read the book of Revelation. They don't know all
Absolutely.
The wonderful promises that
Absolutely.
God has made concerning the future. And as you breathe those, it builds your hope. Mm. And now the second question. What would you say to a viewer who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Mm.
If you're watching this broadcast and you're not saved, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, can I encourage you? Because the Lord Jesus is coming. His coming could happen at any moment, and that means you need to be ready for that coming. How do I get ready for His coming, you say? You get ready by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. There is no other way to God. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to deal with sin that keeps you from God. And He is the answer. If you trust Him and make Him your very own and become a wonderful, true, born-again believer, I tell you, you'll be ready for eternity.
Thank you so much, Ken, and I appreciate your emphasis
upon
the way,
fact
that Jesus
Christ
is the only
prophecy.
Way, because we live in a day and time where increasingly
Lamb
people are saying, oh, there are many different roads to God, but Jesus, who was God in the flesh, said, I am the way, I am the truth,
and
there's no other way
Absolutely.
To the Father Absolutely. Except through me.
Amen.
Well, folks, that's our program for this week. I hope you'll be tuned in same time next week for our program, Christ in Prophecy. Until then, this is Dave Reagan speaking for Lamb and Lion Ministries saying, look up. Be watchful, for our redemption is drawing near.
Thank you for joining us on today's Christ in Prophecy, a presentation of Lamb and Lion Ministry, a non-denominational ministry dedicated to teaching the fundamentals of biblical prophecy and proclaiming the soon return of Jesus.